Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
If this is really bad, can we do it again?
Cool. So welcome to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 10. Today we are joined by Daniel Cliff. Dad, father, entrepreneur, business owner, chairman of Lid the Group, Lid Project, amongst a load of other things. I'll give you the floor, mate. Yeah, I'll give you the floor now to just tell everyone a little bit about your start with your career, and then we'll move on to family life after that.
How long we got?
30 minutes.
Need to do the scoring in about 10 minutes. Right, here we go then. So I'm under a bit of pressure because Jess has decided to walk into the office and listen to me talk absolute nonsense for a bit. So where did it all begin? My career started, a lot of people will find this funny. I started working for a charity called Age Concern. No, I didn't. Before that, I started working for a council. Sport in my life was pretty much all I was good at. So when I came out of uni doing sport, ended up going to Australia, doing a little bit of bits and pieces. Came back as a failed footballer and decided I needed to get a job. That job, I was applying for anything with sport in the name. So I was born in Bahrain, raised in Huddersfield. That is, if you can crop that, if that don't get this going viral, I don't know what will. So basically, I was in Huddersfield applying for any job with sport in the title, ended up being offered a job in Banbury.
Right.
Working for Cherwell District Council as a sport development officer. So, went down for my interview, sold the dream, made it up. Sue, who was my then boss, who turned out to be an absolute massive tool, said to me, "Dan, what are you going to do if you get this job?" And I was like, move down to Banbury. And the pay wasn't great. She was probably thinking, this kid's having a laugh. Like, what's he going to do? So anyway, ended up getting the job, moved into a bed sit. Some fantastic stories from that bed sit. I was living with six people in this really, really tall Victorian house. Shithole. £400 a month. Was it a month? That sounds cheap. No, it don't. For what it was, that was a lot of money. Anyway, £400 a month. I had a bedroom and a shared bathroom. The lady on the same floor as me was a Chinese lady. And, I mean, you'll have to edit this out, but literally, have you ever seen a Chinese lady eat?
Not to my knowledge.
She'd be eating. They eat baby chickens. Like that big,
right?
And they just bite. They bite them and chew them. It's fucking not right. Anyway, so I've moved down. This was my solution to getting a job as a sport development officer in Banbury, was just to move down, have a go, meet loads of people, join a football team, instantly make friends, and that was that. I lasted about 4 months.
Quit.
Sacked. I couldn't pass probation. Like, literally, it was a 1 month probation. I literally couldn't. I might have even been longer than that. I couldn't pass the probation. One of the questions in this probation was define sport development. And I just didn't have it in me to learn the actual, like, dictionary definition of sport development. I was a bit too much for her, I think. I mean, Sue, if you're watching, you're a massive prick, mate. Just not kind to me. Even her boss, I was like going for dinner with her boss. And even, it's just, anyway, it didn't work out. My mate there at the time, he got a very nice job in Oxford. So I moved from Banbury to Oxford with him because he got a job for age concern, which, well, I was a little bit of a young, gobby little so-and-so. Me going to work for age concern at the time was probably, my mum was probably asking lots of questions on how's this going to go then? But anyway, I was an information, what was it? What was my job role? Basically, in Oxfordshire, I was given 6 care homes where I had to go and every day I'd spend a week at each one on a 6-week cycle. I'd spend a week with them. Was I there all day? Can't have been there all day. Got there for probably 9 a.m. Left at probably 1:30. Fantastic day's work. And while I was there, I'd be giving information about all the benefits of age concern, which turned to Age UK, which, like winter warmth,
yeah,
benefits, all this, healthy living. Anyway, so I've been thrown into this job because my mate thought I'd be good at it. And I was going into these care homes and there'd be the old Gladys sat there. She'd look over. She'd be like, hiya, love. I'm like, all right, blah, blah. Bob will be there. Danny boy, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was spending a week at these places on a 6-week cycle, like I said. And the nurses were like, we work with these people every day. They haven't got a clue who we are. And they're like, why are you, something you're doing or whatever you do resonates with them. And they literally ask for you, wait for you. When they see you, they're like, Dan, how are you? What are we doing? How are the Villa doing? Blah, 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 blah. So everything sort of spiraled. I was giving presentations to probably 20 old people at a time.
Yeah.
A lovely time. Talking to them about their benefits and all this and that. They were buying into what we were doing. I wasn't taking money from them or anything like that. It was, most of the services were free or just literally information. And it just turned out I genuinely enjoyed it.
Enjoyed like sort of speaking to people and networking and
I think so. It was, I enjoyed building relationships, I think was what it was. It was with anyone from, like I said, in this role, it was my boss was my mate, but then it was like the care workers and it was the care users and stuff like that. So it was the whole sort of spectrum. And I was finding I could build trust, probably because I'm a bit of an honest Yorkshire boy at heart. Very honest, very transparent, pretty straightforward. And I was just building these relationships really easy with people across the board, to be fair. And so I did that for probably 12 months. Was very happy, earning decent money. But then I met a girl.
Drum roll.
She was in Bromsgrove. And this is how Daddy-O comes about. So she was in Bromsgrove. I was living in Oxford.
So how did that happen? It's a long way, isn't it? Oxford, yeah. Bromsgrove.
And there was no... It was mad, really. I'm a bit of a terror... Family man. I'm great with everyone that comes across me, I think. Nice. Some people won't agree. Family, I'm a bit shit. No joke, I am not great. Ask my mum, ask my sister. I'm a bit hopeless. But this one occasion, my auntie, no, actually my cousin's son was playing a school cup final at Villa Park.
Nice.
And I'm a Villa fan. She told me, I was like, oh, wow, I've got to go to this.
I'll be there.
Very short story short. Short story short, does that make sense? long story short. I've turned up at Villa Park. My cousin's turned up with two birds. And I was like, one of them, I was like, oh, hello. And next, we know we'd had a child. Literally. Not at Villa Park. Easy. Well, I think by the end of that game.
9 months later.
I was a daddy-o. Let me try. So, yeah.
And that changed everything, I assume.
Everything, literally. I'd say I was a bit of a lad. Most people agree. With a genuine lad. Like, I weren't an absolute villain. My grandma used to call me a villain. But literally, definitely for the better. It was a case of, don't get me wrong, we had good times. But it was one of those. It was, having a kid properly throws your head about, and life becomes, well, you've got a little person that you've got to look after, isn't there? And they're 24/7. So life took a turn. And that is when, basically, I've cut out a fair bit of time there.
fast forward.
I started Lid Project when Hudson was 8 months old.
Okay, so you went from being an employed person to instantly within 9 months, a dad and a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, I'd been mowing the lawn a little bit with a few of my clients. I was actually big step that I missed out then. I was in the events industry, selling audiovisual kit. I was building relationships with a load of people. So when I moved to Bromsgrove, I was introduced to a company in Warwick. So I started doing that. And basically, I was running around selling the dream to a load of people who were putting events on. People were asking to part fund me because of they liked my energy or they liked the way I sold. Da, da, da. They were contacting my boss at the time saying, can Dan sell what we offer to events? Or da, da, da. And at the time, Suzanne, she was called. She was like, no, he's mine, get off, blah, blah, blah. But she was telling me this, and my sort of brain was going, hang on a minute. People like how I sell, or people like my network, or how I come across, and they want me to be a bit of a rep for them. So the Dell boy in me said, oh, okay, let's have a think how this could work. Knowing I was about to have a child, and knowing that potentially I was going to need to be a lot more flexible than I was. I'd sort of spoken to a few of these people that had said, oh, we want Dan to represent us, we work with us, blah, blah, blah. I'd spoken to them off the cuff, off the record, and said, look, if I started a bit of a sales agency for the events industry, would you use me? And I was like, and they were like, yeah, absolutely. And I'd be like, what I'd do is I would sell people days. Yeah. And I'd represent you for X amount, and I'd have a day rate, and I'd charge you that day rate. You're buying time. I'm technically a cheap resource. Yeah. And what I did was I had, in the events world, there's loads of different sort of areas in which an event's put on, from AV to theming to furniture to venues. Blah, blah, blah. I surrounded myself with sort of one supplier from each of that world. I'd win the work, and then it'd sort of feed everyone in my circle. So they were paying me monthly on a retainer. It worked really well. They were winning work. I was getting paid monthly, and happy days. I had a little boy. He's the best closer ever. So if you're ever struggling to sell,
take your little one.
Have a baby, put him in your bag, and just take him to meetings. I was literally putting him down, plonking him down on the table. He'd just squirm about in his little bag that I had that connected to his stroller. And there wasn't a meeting I'd come out of without selling the dream. They were just in awe of this little boy.
One of my usual like first questions is like, how do you balance the demands of entrepreneurship and being a dad? But it sounds like Hudson was part of that sort of life because of one, his age, the fact you were setting up a new business, he was a closer, but he was really intertwined with it. And there was probably no sort of like, people discuss it these days, I have 4 hours away from the child because I'm in work mode, I'm in flow mode. It was a lot more fluid for you at that point.
Oh my God. I mean, my business was almost, wasn't even planned. It was, hang on a minute, I need flexibility. What's happened has happened. Deal with it. He was my assistant. 8 months old. I had an eight-month-old PA, basically. He came with me. We were going up and down the country selling the dream to people. If anything, it makes you real. And it was my business was me. and I had my clients and I went out to win work. I genuinely don't think having a kid with you makes a difference. Yes, if they're screaming and all this, that he was very chilled. But yeah, no, basically he came with me and I did what I needed to. Spent a lot of time at David Lloyd working from there, get to know all the staff they had. They probably spent more time with Hudson than I did. But no, literally, I built Lid around because I had Hudson. So it was a case of I needed that flexibility. And yeah, fully believe that if you've got a kid and you need to take them to a meeting, take them to a meeting. Nobody really cares. I'm not in an industry where it's life or death.
It's interesting to, like, obviously the fact that, like, most people would say that their life has to fit their work life, whereas yours was completely the other side because you had the opportunity to do it from the start. It was like, right, I have a son. I am making this business to fit around the fact that I have this son. Not, I've made this business, it's grown to XYZ, and now I've had a son and now I need to change things. In some ways, you could say you're fortunate in some ways that you were able to build it exactly how you wanted to from the start, but then I'm sure it had its challenges as well. Like, what was there stuff that you think back to now, like when you were doing it, thinking, shit, how the hell did I get through that? Or was there challenges that you would think you could give some advice to if someone was in a similar situation now?
You've got to have a support network around you. Obviously, you've got parents. Hudson's mum still looked after him and things like that. And it worked, like I said. But again, you've got to just go for it. Like, in terms of if you need support or help, ask. Don't ever be too proud to say, Christ, I've asked them yesterday, da, da, da. Everyone understands that it's a case of you've got a child, either take them with you or ask. And I'll be the first person to ask for help if you need help. Never be too proud to say, da, da, da. I mean, I've got mates having kids now and they're like, fucking hell, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, it's not just you at the end of the day. He's got a wicked family around him. His mum, uncles, aunties, nannies, granddads, whatever. They're all there. They all care, and they will all do what they need to help.
How different was your setup in terms of, like, how Lid was functioning as a business, and how, I guess, your relationship was functioning, and then when you obviously had Edie, which is your second child, your daughter, how drastically different was your scenario then?
Crikey. I mean, as Lid grew, it gets more difficult. Like, it's like, for example, now, if I was to have a kid now, it'd be an absolute fucking train wreck, probably. Only because there's more pressure. We've grown Lid Project to probably 12 staff, still small. But again, there's just so many more moving parts now that, and my current partner, don't take that long. Gem, you're here for the long haul, like, you know what I mean? Cool. Gem, who I'm with now, she's my business partner as well. We mentioned, Gem looks at me sometimes and is like, should we have another baby? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Work comes first now. Kids are at school, ED7. Hudson is 11. They go to school. We work around school pickup in terms of what working hours, but we work after that at home and things like that if we need to or whatever. And it's it's as you. I was able to do what I did then, I think, because I was so small. Although saying that, I genuinely don't think I'd have a problem with people bringing the kids into work.
Big news. We've decided to partner up with a charity called Winston's Wish. They were the first UK's child bereavement charity and have been supporting grieving children and young people for 30 years. The Diary of a Daddy-O would like to help them on their way in providing the much needed money to help provide specialist child bereavement support services across the UK. To donate, visit our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/Diary of a Daddy-O, or click the link in our description below. Now back to the podcast.
It'd be mayhem, wouldn't it?
It'd be mayhem. Obviously, everyone knows I'm part of Lid the Group, and where Lid is now owned by Lid the Group, and I've brought Brody to the office before and stuff like that. That it does it does make life difficult in some ways, but then at the same time, I've had many conversations since where, like, if you're more productive in the time that you have, then you understand, especially as a parent, that what you can fit into an hour is different to what you used to be able to fit into an hour when you weren't a parent, just because there's so many crossovers between advice you can have or things that you need to be good at to be a parent, as well as being in a business or an employee. You have to be ruthlessly efficient with your time. You have to be resilient, mentally strong, physically strong, great time management and stuff like that, because there is so many similarities between running a business and essentially running a household with a child, because they are 24/7. Businesses tend to be, most of them, 24/7 as well. They don't just stop when you leave.
In an ideal world, I mean, I've just thought of this now, if money was absolutely no object, you'd have a massive office with a creche. What an idea. And the thing is, it would be a case of when they're little, you bringing your kids to work, you drop them off in the creche and go to work, pick them up at five, almost. I mean, we're not in that situation. we work on a farm, and I don't know, Charles the farmer might not be open to that idea, but I'll ask him later when I see him.
I guess, have you ever thought or put things in place to prioritize yourself as a person? Obviously, I know what you get up to outside of work and stuff, but listeners might not understand, but the things you do to be, one, either not a dad at the time, or two, not a boss. So I've discussed it before. Like, I go to Man City once every week, every 2 weeks, and that's my hobby, where I am not a dad for a minute. I'm not an employee. I'm not a business owner. I'm just going to enjoy something to sort of remind yourself that there is a different aspect to your personality and who you are. What do you do?
Everyone probably thinks I'm an absolute wreckhead, to be fair. No, it's just very conveniently, when I see some people, I'm always hanging. So went to Cheltenham last week, still paying for it a little bit, come up with a cold. Cheltenham flu, I think I've got. Away days or overnighters with clients, usually. Thing is, I have one of those things, if you want to do it, do it. Like, you can't, it's one of those, I think relationships are pretty key in terms of if you want to do something, if you want to go on a stag do, you want to go on a night out with your mates, you want to do this and that, or do it. And you should, like, allow each other to do it. So I'll go on the occasional night out. Hudson plays football. My life is consumed out of hours by grassroots under 12s football. I'll be honest. It is absolutely relentless, like 6 days a week, relentless. So I finish work, still answering calls, emails, blah, 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 blah. But then it's a case of you get home, you got the kids, and I genuinely enjoy sport. I loved sport growing up, massive part of my life. I enjoy kids' football going, and I'm assistant gaffer, Solihull Moors LK, little shout out. But yeah, no, they're a good team. But he loves it. Edie comes with me quite a bit of the time as well anyway. So she absolutely knows us, the parents, on the side for a good hour and a half every time. So yeah, sorry, Sharon. And Phil. Phil, you get a shout out as well. But yeah, no, she comes. She's almost, I feel a bit bad for Edie because she's a spectator of Hudson a bit at the minute. She tries horse riding. She's tried gymnastics. She's a bit like me that if she's shit at it, after a week, she ain't going back. She's like,
moves on.
She's like, why am I not allowed to jump over that on a horse? I'm like, either you're like, you're four. You don't know what you're doing.
So like football, you play a bit of football still. Like, being able to go and be the gaffer, get involved in kids football, that's sort of the bit that you go away and you go, you still might have that sort of tag of you are the assistant gaffer, but it's different to being in complete work mode or complete dad mode. That
you're there
to enjoy it.
I wouldn't say enjoy it. I mean, I do enjoy it. I'm a bit ruthless, to be fair. I'm like the bad cop, and I make them run and this and that, as well as being funny. So yeah, work that one out. As an 11-year-old, you've got me saying your shit at one point, and then you're saying, I'm trying to be funny the next. So yeah, if you can, you can work me out as a manager when you're 11 or 12 years old, you're doing very well. That's that. Yeah, like if you ask Jim, I'm always out the house playing, being with Hudson, and he's playing football, whether it's a one-to-one, whether it's training, whether it's games. Like, I'm out. That is probably, yeah, that's your release. And as soon as that game goes, you look at your phone, I've got 57 WhatsApps, and 19 missed calls, and you're back to it.
Do Edie and Hudson know what you and Jem do for work? Do they understand what your like jobs are and what the businesses are? And have they shown any interest? I know they're both still young, but any interest in being in a business owner, entrepreneur, that thing?
I don't understand.
They got interest.
I don't understand what I do. genuinely, if someone said, I like to place myself right at the bottom of the pile, don't have to manage anyone, deal with it, have a bit of fun, occasionally might have an idea, but I like to stay out of the way. ED is properly switched on. She's 7 and she will be famous. Don't know how. I keep telling her she's going to be a wrestler, but no, she has personality. She's likable. I think what I tell her is, if you're likable, you'll go far in whatever you decide to do. Hopefully, I leave them with a foundation that they can genuinely do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Will Edie come in and run lead project? Jem probably thinks so. I don't think no one deserves that. Fucking hell. The child cruelty lining her up for this gig. But Hudson, he's timid. He won't go into anything like it. He's a numbers guy, to be fair. He's very, very interested in data. My mate used to race World Superbikes, and he used to come with us, and he's so interested in lap times and splits and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And he just loves sport. He loves playing football, and he loves sport, but he's a little mathematician. So I can see him going in somewhere completely random. I'd have loved to have gone into sport in terms of, I don't know what my mum used to say, sports journalism. I think I'll try and push him down that route, maybe. Just because, yeah, sport's great. We've got a client that has got an opportunity within the sport world. And it's like, yes, you enjoy doing work for them and whatever, coming up with ideas and things. As soon as sport's involved, I'm like, I think it wouldn't feel like, I mean, you've got it, haven't you, with your City podcast and all that.
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
It's like, from my perspective, I obviously, you know this, and maybe a few people know, but obviously I played football for quite a long time. I've been a massive football fan as well for a long
fastest
time.
Fastest ever hat trick.
Throw it out there, star it, clip it, get it on socials. But obviously, when I went down a different route from obviously not being a footballer, not through choice, obviously, I just wasn't good enough. But I never thought of a career in sport because I thought I was too late. I didn't go to university to study it or do anything like that, and I didn't really know what I could do in sport. So like, obviously now at this point in my life where I've got a career, I've started dabbling with speaking about football because it's what most blokes do that like football. They talk about it. So if you can speak to someone and just make some content which is intertwined with my career and what I've done for most of my life, it's something that became a bit of a hobby. But also, like we said before, like it crosses over into your life where it's a hobby, but it's also using skills that I've used at work, something that I like to do with my dad. So like, I like the fact that at the moment, it's taken a long time to get there. Like I'm 35 now, but I do something that sort of picks all areas out of my life, my hobby, my sport, my love, something with my dad. It brings me closer to friends that I never met before. Still gives me an excuse to watch more football than I probably would with the wife if I wasn't doing the social stuff. So that's why I like it.
There's much clearer pathways now, isn't there, for sport in terms of, I mean, you look at the presenters and everything and all the sort of channels and avenues to talk about sport. I mean, a podcast now, for me, sat in the boozer, having a couple of beers, talking about the games that happened on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. What, I mean, you can make a career out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Peter Crouch does one with the guy that used to be on Radio 1, and they film it in a boozer, and it is really good because you instantly feel like you are part of that conversation because you've already had that conversation about the weekend football and everything else. And and how it works. I guess going slightly back away from football, back to like the work-life balance, which is obviously the whole daddy-o thing. How do you cope, or how do you manage the fact that you obviously a business owner with your partner, you live with your partner, you work with your partner. How do you put anything in place? Obviously, you must talk about work a lot. Like I know quite a few people that work with their partners, and some find it very easy, some find it quite difficult. How do you guys cope with it?
There'll be my version, and then there'll be Jem's version. If you clip this up and then ask Jem, they'll be completely different. To be fair, Jem says, I'm always on my phone, and we only talk about work at home. Mm. It consumes you, and it's one of those, isn't it? It's because we care. I'd love to just switch off. I mean, I'm much better at switching off. Like sometimes I'll be just sat chilling and Jem will go, what are you thinking about? And I'm not thinking about anything. and she don't get that. I'm like, literally, I'm just thinking about, there might have been a song on an advert. I'm literally singing a song in my head. Jem's like, and I'm like, I'm just singing this song in an advert. And she's like, gets actually wound up by the fact that I can just go, right, not okay. And she's like, all right, fantastic. Well, I'm worried about this and that. So, to be fair, I am a bit rubbish at home. I'm either on my phone, I'll put a little five team accumulator on, and I'll be watching that, which Jem also doesn't understand. And if I'm talking to Jem or the kids, it's about work usually. But yeah, mate, I need to get better at it. It's something that is not an issue, but it's a case of, I can switch off inside myself. Jem can't. So we need to find that happy medium, and I need to just start looking at Pinterest with her or something. Looking at houses we can't afford on Rightmove and looking at nice pictures. She likes that. I do need a list of things to go to. She always asks me to go for a walk. I hate going for walks.
I know that feeling.
I need to get better at going for walks.
But it's a process again that obviously like your relationship with your partner, you can treat it in similar ways. It always needs to be worked on, like you work on relationships at work, trying to grow a business, trying to grow with clients. Like, everything always requires work, but people have different ways of managing that. And obviously, like you said there, you can switch off literally. You can still be present in a room, but you can just literally light bulb, turn off. I'm thinking about Aston Villa's kit's a bit tight this year. Nothing of like major importance. Yep. Whereas like Jem has a different way that she needs to switch off by going physically to somewhere like a gym or a spa or a bath or whatever it may be to physically take yourself away. It's just understanding how different people work and function, isn't it? And then
throw the kids in there.
Throw the kids in there as well, which I can imagine, like, obviously Brody's only 15 months old, so we don't really understand how he functions yet, like in terms of like how he copes with different scenarios other than just being like, I'm hungry, I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, I genuinely say, I've completed parenting now. Like, so 7 and 11, they would survive for 24 hours on their own. I'm not going to do it, but they would. Edie'd be walking around with a spoon in the Nutella. Hudson can make super noodles like an absolute good, and they're sound. Like, I am done.
Yeah. So I guess that in itself is a massive achievement, to feel like, obviously, parenting, you don't complete parenting, but you feel like you've raised two children to a point where you know that they are wise enough, smart enough, like sensible enough to be able to go, actually, I'm confident that they can look after themselves. They can sort their own dinner out if needs be. That is a massive achievement that, again, I spoke on a podcast before, being like, have you ever had a chance to take a second to stand back and go and think about an achievement that isn't just a monetary value on, like, oh, I've sold my business for 10 million. I've got a gold medal in Olympic. Like, being able to sit back as a parent and father and go, my children are sound. I've taught them well. I've brought them up well. They can cope. That is a massive achievement that I can imagine you've never been able to sit back and go, oh, I'm proud of that.
I am much better at being a dad than I am at business. 100%. I genuinely think, the kids might not agree, but when I mean, Hudson is, I'd employ both my kids. Like, I'd have Hudson would be this little geek. Don't know what he's going to do, but numbers and accountant or something really shit and boring, but loving it. And he'd be he'd be hardworking and switched on and great at what numbers, crunching or something. Edie would be the energy. She'd be the me of the office. She'd just bowl in, kick the door open, sunglasses on, start shouting at people in a nice way, being friendly, and just run the show. Don't know what she's going to be, but she, like I said, she's going to be a wrestler or something. She will be there.
I've got a couple more questions just to wrap it up because we're already at 35 minutes. And, so one is, you already said be likable. However, not everyone can be authentically likable. Some people are just idiots and wankers. If you're not likable and you're trying to give advice to someone to be successful in business, what would that advice be?
If you're not likable,
yeah,
I think honesty. Like, honesty goes so far. Business ain't easy. I think even if you're smashing it in business, there's going to be obstacles to jump over. And I think if you can be honest with people and just a bit caring, like literally understand people and probably in the similar boat to you all the time, be honest with people and just be a good human. That I think those life skills, I'm not all about be a motivator. Like, I think people work in different ways. I think if you try and motivate everybody, it's not going to work for everybody. But I think being honest and being genuinely approachable, and you'll go far. That is my motto. I don't really shout. I swear quite a lot. Not at people, apart from when I'm driving. But no, I think just being a genuinely nice person. Does it make you absolutely loads of money? I'll tell you in about 5 or 10 years. But that is my motto and I'm sticking to it. I can't be arsed being a prick. I ain't got it in my life.
It's interesting when you say, like, be honest, empathy, things like that, because most people, when I've asked that question, haven't said, oh, to be successful in business or be like, be successful in business is be good with your numbers, be able to raise loads of money. It's never anything that's business related. It's always about your core values of like, be a nice person, be empathetic, be caring, be nice to people. It's always stuff that, again, completely just passes straight over to how would you be a good parent?
Yeah.
Listen to your kids, be empathetic, be caring, show up, be present. It's all the same things that you say to be a good boss or good business leader. This is exactly the same for parents. So my next question is, what advice would you give to a someone who's a dad that's about to go and set up a business?
Do it. And take your kids on the journey. Like, literally, I mean, some of the things Edie and Hudson have done and seen and been and witnessed, like, it's class. Like, the journey's brilliant. And yes, it's hard. Yes, it costs loads of money, but you know what? It's all about experiences, and life's too short, isn't it? I mean, I'm genuinely unemployable now. If it goes tits up here, I don't know what I'm going to do. I do know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a sports shop and I'm going to want best football boots in the world, and I'm just going to have them on a wall for people to come in and try on. I'm going to sell them football boots. That's lovely.
That'd be a lovely job.
If you're going to have if you start a business, do it. Like, have a go and then take your kids on the journey. Like, don't leave them at home. Just do it. Yeah. Have a right go. And be
I've said it in the past that I remember now thinking back, I remember going to, my dad worked for Barclays for years. I remember going to Barclays on a Saturday with my dad when he had to go and do some stuff at a branch or whatever. And albeit at the time, you think, oh, God, this is boring, sitting in the staff room just playing darts or kicking a football around. Actually, now, when you think
about... How class is that?
30 years later, you actually think of those memories fondly because you're like, you're involved with your parent, albeit it's work. You're still involved in what they were doing. And like, Edie obviously comes to the office here, doesn't she? And she gets stuck in with the staff and stuff. And she will, I'm sure of it, in 20 years' time, think back and think, oh, I used to love going to the farm with everyone and doing everything that she
does. Her and G are going to be lifelong friends.
Besties. I mean...
Involving them in what you do is key. Ask them questions. I mean, it's great to get their sort of version of it. Edie genuinely thinks she knows what to say in every possible situation. Like, she's just like, well, tell them that that's not very kind. That would be Edie's take on most issues at the minute is, well, that's not very kind. Hit them.
final question is one from a previous guest. Pocket money. What's your thoughts on it? Because Edie and Hudson are different ages, does the older child get more because they're older? Do they get more or less based on how much help they give around the house? Are they taught to save? What do you think about pocket money?
Hudson plays FIFA and they are on to a winner. He rinses it. Although all Edie's teeth are falling out at the minute and the amount she gets per tooth is a fucking joke. £30 first front tooth, £30.
£30?
She was like requested. One came out the other day, £10. But like, where's pound a tooth? So no, Edie's a little thief. She robs Hudson's money. So Hudson spends it on FIFA points, whatever they're called. Gets a bit of cash, wheely dealing. I don't know how he gets his cash. Not asking any questions there. Edie robs it and then keeps it in her purse, but then sells her teeth. Sells her teeth to the tooth fairy for an absolute, the profit in teeth. Honestly, I'm thinking about it.
Wow. Well, I appreciate it, mate. We'll wrap up there. It's been 40 minutes. Really good podcast. Is there anything you want to say, final?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry if that was really, really shit. I don't know if it was. I can't even remember what I've said. Can't wait. Let's go.
We'll do a part two in a few months and discuss a few more things. But for the time being, thanks for coming on, mate. And yeah, I'll put your LinkedIn in the bio so everyone can go and click on the beard and the chairman. The Diary of a Daddy-O is proudly part of Lid the Group family and is sponsored by Lid Project, your plug-in sales and marketing team. Founded by brand owners for brand owners.
A work-life balance, hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.